Chapter 1. The Lay of the Evangelical Land. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. It takes no courage to sign up as a Protestant. After all, millions have done so throughout the West. They are not in any peril. To live by the truths of historic Protestantism, however, is an entirely different matter. That takes courage in today's context. That is the argument I will make in this book, but it needs to be made not only with postmodern culture in mind, but also with contemporary evangelicalism in mind. The truths of historic Protestantism are sometimes no more welcome in evangelicalism than they are in the outside culture. This is quite a remarkable thing. After all, the emergence of the evangelical movement following World War II has been a success story. So, what has happened? Evangelicals started out at the beginning of this period, let us remember, with nothing. They were few in number, not welcome in the academy, were ridiculed wherever Enlightenment attitudes were ensconced in the culture, and were on the outside of all the power centers in American society. In a very few years, though, this all began to change. Their churches grew and multiplied. They built institutions, started organizations, entered the academy, became a political constituency to be reckoned with, and they have reached out to those in need in a multitude of impressive ways. Indeed, so successful have they become that they have been granted a kind of grudging cultural acceptance in America, though this is not, of course, the case in Europe. Never has the evangelical gospel been more widely heard than it is today, and never has the reach of evangelicals been so great. And yet, at the very moment when the evangelical movement seemed to have arrived at this pinnacle, it started to fall apart. It is now separating into three quite distinct constituencies. Because this story explains where the front lines are, I will briefly describe these three constituencies before I get into the substance of this book. In the chapters that follow, I will return to these issues a number of times. The map. Let me now start drawing my map of what is happening. The evangelical world is now dividing into three rather distinct constituencies. Actually, it is dividing into many, many sub-constituencies as well, because this rather amazing empire of belief is fragmenting across the board. So my map with only three major constituencies portrays the land as it looks from afar, not up close. The important point here, though, is that two of these constituencies are new and, like large icebergs, they are separating from the others. They are, as I see it, transitional movements. They are the stepping stones away from the classical orthodoxy of the earlier evangelicals and, however unwittingly, toward a more liberalized Christianity. In due course, the children of these evangelicals will become full-blown liberals, I suspect, just like those against whom the evangelical grandparents originally protested. Doctrine. What is now dividing the evangelical world is not what used to divide it. The older distinctions were doctrinal. Doctrinal differences were what pitted Baptists against Paedobaptists, Premills against Amills, Congregationalists against Presbyterians, Arminians against Calvinists, ordainers of women against non-ordainers, and tongue speakers against cessationists. These issues are still alive, and they still stir passions. I have a position on each one, and I think they are important in as much as each.